Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. How are you feeling today? Hopefully pretty good. But if you thought to yourself, I'm a little achy, my throat's sore, actually, maybe I have a fever. I don't want to alarm you, but it might be possible you're coming down with the flu. You wouldn't be the only one. Hopefully, though, if you've been hit, yours is a mild case. For many, this year's illness has been severe and even fatal. According to the Centers for Disease Control, this year's influenza outbreak is the most widespread it's ever seen. And the Illinois Department of Public Health says this year's flu season appears to be peaking early throughout the state, right now, rather than later this winter. I'm joined now by Dr. Brian Curtis, the Director of Physician Practice at OSF Medical Group in Peoria, and Dr. Chris McDowell, an emergency physician at SIU School of Medicine. He also works at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Dr. Curtis, welcome back. Dr. McDowell, thanks for both of you for being with us here on the 21st.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. For now, for all of you out there who have questions for either doctor about the flu, influenza, flu vaccine, you can give us a call, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet your questions or comments to 21STShow. That's our Twitter handle. Dr. Curtis, just from looking around, whether I think everybody's noticed this in their family, certainly coworkers around our office here, around the newsroom, we've all noticed that the flu is worse this year. But I wonder what you're actually seeing. Is the actual strain of flu people are catching actually worse this year than in years past, Dr. Curtis?
It is this year, and so the predominant strain we're seeing is kind of the one we predicted to see, which is the H3N2, the influenza A, the same one they saw in Australia. And so it's a strain that hasn't been seen for a while, and so since it hasn't been seen and circulated in the population, it's a little bit different. People have been more sick with it. I think also when the flu kind of hit, which is kind of the week before Christmas, is when it really started showing. Was kind of an inopportune time with the holidays and the gatherings that people have, which gave a kind of a prime opportunity to share it. So,
right. So at least for what you're seeing and what you're seeing, Dr. Curtis, in Peoria, are you seeing more cases than you normally would see this time of year?
Yeah. So, you know, we're about 3 or 4 weeks ahead. Usually our flu season has tended to be kind of starting around mid to late January, so right about now it usually starts. So we're about a month ahead of where we're used to being. And so, you know, our prompt cares are very, very busy. Our emergency departments are busy. The hospital's full and busy, and so are our doctor's offices.
Dr. McDowell, are you seeing the same thing in Springfield?
We have, and I would agree. Usually our peak in Central Illinois and Springfield tends to be mid to late January. And clearly at the end of December, we were seeing a very big rise in the number of positive tests and then just a tremendous surge. Now, the good news is the last data I saw from the CDC for the state of Illinois seems to show it declining just around the time of the change of the new year.
And when we're looking at the data and we look at the vaccine, how much of this is an effectiveness of what we've seen? From what I've heard, this year's flu vaccine was maybe 20 to 30% effective. Dr. McDowell, is that accurate?
So it really depends how you're figuring the statistics. And there are a lot of challenges to making a flu vaccine that are different from many of the other vaccines that we're used to thinking of. So we basically try to estimate the typical types of strains of flu that we'll see in our hemisphere about 9 months early, based on the other half of the world's experience. And then we make a vaccine around those strains. And some years we match it very well. Other years they miss a little bit. One of the other challenges is that we make the flu vaccine in eggs. And in that process of manufacturing, sometimes the vaccine can change a little bit and then be less effective. And I think we have a combination of both of those challenges this year with our vaccine. That being said, there is still very good evidence to get a flu vaccine, and it's still worth getting one even for this season if you haven't done it yet.
Okay, so it's not too late for this year.
It's not too late.
I'm speaking with Dr. Chris McDowell. He's at SIU School of Medicine and Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Dr. Brian Curtis is on the line with us from Peoria, where he is at OSF Medical Group. You're welcome to join our conversation. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21STShow. Dr. Curtis, does it mean that more people are coming into hospital settings for flu treatments than they would have before because of the severity of this year's influenza?
I think it is, and I think some of it is they just want to make sure that they're going to be okay. I think there's a lot of stuff in the news and in the print literature that people are seeing. They're driving them in, and this is kind of myself and Dr. McDowell both, really encouraging people. Stay home. If don't if you if you're just achy and you're tolerating liquids and you're doing okay and you don't really have another medical problem. The best option for you to just stay home, get plenty of rest, get plenty of sleep, make sure you're tolerating, keeping liquids down, and then really kind of just stay that, because every time you come into the public, you just kind of spread the illness further. And so coming into the clinics or the prompt cares or in the emergency departments or going to school or going to work, you're just kind of propagating the illness further. And so I think it's a little bit of a mix, and I think that's why everybody right now is trying to get the word out. If you're doing okay, you more than likely will do fine. If you're in a high-risk category, you just had a baby, you're pregnant, age under 5, over 65, or you have a comorbid condition, then those people probably need to talk to their physician. Otherwise, just kind of listen to your mom, what she used to tell you.
And so, Dr. Curtis, I imagine that's a difficult question when you're talking about. So, obviously, you're saying if you're in a high-risk category, you need to call your doctor. What about when we're talking about children? When do we need to be careful about children and when we should bring children into the physician's office?
So children under 5 or tend to be, or 4 or 5 tend to be the highest risk category within this. If they're not acting right, they're having high fevers that are kind of unremitting and aren't responsive to Tylenol or Motrin. They're not tolerating liquids or able to keep liquids down. They're not acting normal. And it's usually if their fever is persisting probably over, 5 to 6 days, those are times that they probably should come in.
And for adults, what kind of fever is normal with the flu, Dr. McDowell?
I think it's hard to give a number. I think you will very typically see, though, a fever, and people might have that anywhere from, a very low-grade fever around 100. It might be higher, 103, or even a little bit higher than that. I think it's really the constellation of symptoms. If you've got a fever, a cough, bad body aches, and chills, that really has a high likelihood just by your symptoms that you're going to have influenza. And I just want to clarify, when we say the flu or influenza, we're really talking about a respiratory virus that causes respiratory symptoms, body aches, fever, chills. A lot of us grew up thinking of the flu as a GI illness, vomiting and diarrhea, and that's a different type of viral infection than the true influenza that we're talking about today.
And Dr. McDowell, what do you do when people, you guys were just talking about being careful about spreading things further by being in hospital settings, coming into urgent care centers. What do you do for people when they come in? Do you basically just tell them go home, get rest, have plenty of fluids? How are you treating folks?
That's a great question. So if you're in a high-risk group, then you have a higher likelihood of a complication with your flu. And again, high-risk groups would be the very young, the very old, people that have diabetes, underlying lung issues like asthma or COPD, anybody who's had an organ transplant, those that are pregnant. So those individuals are susceptible to developing other things with their flu. For instance, maybe a bacterial pneumonia on top of their flu. So our job when we see them as healthcare providers is to decide who has one of these other complications and then how can we treat that. Treating the flu for most healthy people is time and supportive care, things to take care of their fever, as we already mentioned, Tylenol and Motrin. We do have antiviral medications that we can use for the flu. The challenge is that they only help lessen the symptoms and may make it go away more quickly, but they don't treat the flu the way antibiotics treat bacterial infections. So it's a little different process. So really our goal is to see who has another complication from it and who's healthy enough that could get over it on its own.
And Dr. Curtis, I think this is probably a good time to point out, I think a lot of people come into the doctor's office and they want you to do something. What do you do when people say, "Hey, I'd like some antibiotics," for example?
This is a thing that Dr. McDowell and I deal with on a daily basis, and it's really us just educating that antibiotics aren't indicated in a majority of the stuff that we see within these kind of seasonal illnesses, because a vast majority of them are viral-related illnesses. And our job is to educate, and then the public's job is to actually trust us in our education when we're telling them that you don't need an antibiotic, that you really don't need it. And that's set up to do two things. One is to protect you from any adverse effects from the antibiotic, either an allergy development or you can get an infectious diarrhea from it. And even more importantly is to protect you later on and further down the road by lowering antibiotic resistance within the environment. Because the more antibiotics we put out there, the more resistant the bacteria become to them. And so when you actually need the antibiotic, we want to be able to give it to you and have it be effective.
Dr. McDowell, when we talk about the CDC saying the flu is the most widespread this season than it's ever been, I think we all know that the flu is contagious, but I wonder what you can tell us about how ways in which the flu spreads that we might not know about.
So the flu is really spread by droplet contact. So any kind of sneezing, coughing, where you get those droplets into the air or onto your hands or other surfaces is how we spread the flu. And one of the challenges during the winter is that we're inside because of the cold weather, and so we're in closer proximity and more likely to spread it to each other. So the things that we should do to try to prevent that are obviously the basics of just good hygiene day to day, covering our mouth, our nose when we cough and sneeze, washing our hands frequently. If we actually think we have the flu, trying to avoid contact with those who are at high risk, and maybe wearing a mask if we're going to be around other individuals so that we can try to prevent the spread by droplets. One of the most important things you can do, really, and we've talked about it before, is getting the flu vaccine. And you want to get the flu vaccine really for two reasons. One is to make sure that you are at better protection so that you're less likely to get the flu. And two, you're then less likely to carry it or take it to somebody in your close proximity. And those who are immunocompromised or have some other illness are really at high risk. So getting the flu vaccination rate higher kind of helps protect us all as a society. And there's a lot of benefits to that.
Dr. Curtis, do you worry that people think that this year the vaccine, because it wasn't so effective, that will affect how many people will get it next year? Because they'll say, hey, I got the flu shot and it didn't help, or maybe they think it wasn't as effective this year, so that might prevent problems next year.
It's always a concern we have. Though in my discussions with people, we're seeing that the flu vaccine is, 30% effective. And I tell people 30% is better than 0%. And so any little bit that you can do, and as Dr. McDowell said, the more population that you immunize, that 30% becomes a larger and larger piece of that population. And so it still is not a reason to shy away from it. And it's being shown very well that the people that we are seeing with the flu, if you've had the flu shot, you're doing better than the people that did not receive the flu shot. And so the people that we're seeing that are really sick from this, a majority of them still haven't received the flu shot. And then so even though it's not a perfect match, and there was probably a little bit of a shift in the virus and a little bit of a shift in the virus within the vaccine, it is still offering some cross protection that we're seeing. And so you still need to go get a flu shot. And as Dr. McDowell said, we're still recommending for people to go out and give a flu shot. And so at OSF, we've given more flu shots this year than we've ever given in our ever. And so every year we're increasing the number of flu shots that we're given. And so it's still an opportune time to go out and get it. We do a really good job. People over 65 do a great job getting the flu vaccine. Children under 18 go get it. They do a good job because their parents bring them in to get that. It's everybody in between that is really kind of the low mark in regards to the percent of the population that we vaccinate. And so really you need to go out and get it.
I got my flu shot. I haven't gotten sick yet. I was at my doctor's office last week and she was sick. I wonder, both of you, Dr. McDowell, have you been struck by the flu this year? How do you keep yourself from getting germs?
Well, I make sure, number one, that I wash my hands all the time at work. We make good use of masks as well, and we try to be really careful with just using good droplet contact isolation to try to keep from spreading it in the healthcare centers themselves. And I think basically it's just trying to take good care of yourself then too, trying to make sure that you have enough rest and that you're well hydrated. And then some of it is luck.
Right, Dr. Curtis, hopefully you've been healthy so far this year.
Well, my kids shared the Christmas with me, so no, I didn't escape it. So, but I did practice it, so I did stay home until I felt better.
So it's a good reminder for everyone, stay home as long as you can. I imagine, gentlemen, this cold weather probably is not a great thing also for folks and for their lungs, especially if they're not feeling so great. But both of you, thank you so much for being with me. Dr. Brian Curtis directs the physician practice at OSF Medical Group in Peoria. Dr. Chris McDowell teaches at SIU School of Medicine. He also practices at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Gentlemen, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
It was a
Thank
pleasure.
you.
Thank you, Nyla.